people would follow somebody else who has no backup for authority in what they're saying. But yet Jesus is being backed up by God himself. The miracles were evident of that.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The topic of this episode is the Book of John, Chapter 5.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Chapter 5 of the Book of John is very exciting. In it we will witness a man who is not entirely willing to be healed get healed anyhow. And we're going to see Jesus confront the Jewish leaders of his time. We're also going to see how Jesus has a witness unto himself as proof that he is God and that he was sent by God into the world to be the payment for all mankind's sins. Let's begin now in the Book of John, chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of weak folk, of blind, lame, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. Imagine the scene at this pool area where hundreds of people would flock on a daily basis in hopes that they would be the first one in as the water began to bubble so that they may be healed of whatever was ailing them. This was the scene when Jesus arrived. This was the scene always. You can only imagine the pushing, the shoving, the arguing, and the hopes that were dashed as somebody beforehand got in to be healed before anyone else did. Here we see that there is a man who has been suffering for 38 years. That is a long time for anybody to be suffering from a sickness. Yet out of all the people, Jesus is about to walk up to this man and make him an offer that you would think nobody could refuse. Verse 6, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said to him, "Will you be made whole?" The weak man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Now notice how when Jesus asks the man, "Do you want to be made whole?" the man comes back with an excuse. How many times have you made an excuse for something that God wants to do for you? And how many times have you seen people make excuses for themselves or for their sins, for their lifestyle, when they're approached about something in their life that God wants to make whole through his Son, Jesus Christ? Every day there are countless people that God wants to make whole through his Son, Jesus Christ. But people reject him. They have an excuse as to why they're in the state that they're in. But God doesn't care about your excuses. God cares about making each and every one of us whole. That's all that God wants. And you will see that in this case, Jesus didn't hesitate. He saw past the man's excuse, and he made the man whole. Sometimes God speaks something into your life the way Jesus did. He told the man to stand up, and the man obeyed. There are times when God will give you a word, and you will be compelled by His Holy Spirit to obey. Sometimes we need God's Spirit to get us out of what we're into. Sometimes we need the gift of faith. We need to obey God in order to receive the blessings. And sometimes we need God to help us obey. Jesus must have said this in such a way and had such a look on his face that the man could not deny what Jesus was saying. He must have felt something in his body change as he was being healed. That's the grace of God. Sometimes we don't even know what God is up to and he just appears. This man had been sick for 38 years. And he was putting his hope in a healing pool. But there comes Jesus. Jesus is the only hope that any of us need. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And Jesus did this healing on a Sabbath, and the author of this book, who was the disciple John, he points this out, that the same day that the healing took place was on a Sabbath. Verse 10, the Jews therefore said to him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said to me, take up your bed and walk. Then asked they him, what man is that which said to you, take up your bed and walk? And he that was healed knew not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. The man who was cured didn't even know who Jesus was when he was being cured. And this place, this healing pool, it was so full of the sick, there were so many people in there, that Jesus easily slipped away. So the man at this time had no idea who healed him. Verse 14, afterward, Jesus finds him in the temple and said to him, behold, you are made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come to you. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, my Father works till now, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but he said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Now, first of all, we have this man who is again approached by Jesus, and he must have been up to no good because Jesus said in a warning, sin no more, or a worse thing is going to happen to you. You know, sometimes God pulls us out of a situation, but we haven't learned our lesson, and we go back into doing the same old thing that got us into trouble in the first place, or is going to get us into bigger trouble than we ever imagined. Now, this man had been sick for 38 years, and Jesus said, if you sin, you're going to find something even worse on top of you. That's something to think about as a Christian when we're tempted to backslide in our walk with Christ. Maybe there's something that God has pulled you away from, yet you're feeling an attraction back towards it, or something that's even more dangerous. Walking with Jesus is a very serious matter, and God chastises those whom he loves. Now notice how this happened on the Sabbath, which was a holy day to the Jews. And the Jewish leaders, they believed that on the Sabbath, you couldn't do a thing. You weren't allowed to do nothing. They took the law of God and they made rules on top of God's rules. So if it was illegal, and I'm just giving you an example here, say it was illegal to watch TV on Sundays, the Jewish leaders would tack something on that would say that you couldn't even have a TV in your house on Sundays. And they would just make it, they would just extend the laws of God to the point that nobody could fulfill them. And Jesus was telling them, look, my Father's working. Why shouldn't I be working? And when he said that God was his Father, he really upset them, because to be the Son of God is to make oneself equal with God. That was blasphemy to the Jews. And so we read in verse 18 that the Jews, they were planning even harder to kill Jesus. Now, notice how it says that. It says the Jews sought the more to kill him. See, they already had it out for him. Poor Jesus has barely gotten started in his ministry, and he's already got people thinking about how they're going to kill him, and now he's angered even more people. So now he's got them thinking even harder about how they're going to take him out. Verse 19, then answered Jesus and said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he does, these also does the Son likewise. For the Father loves the Son, and shows him all things that himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father rises up the dead and vivifies them, even so the Son vivifies whom he will. For the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honors not the Son honors not the Father, which has sent him. Now Jesus is clearly saying in this passage that he is God. Now, it may not come out clear cut that way, but when you put yourself in equal authority with the ruling government, you are basically saying that you are one and the same. Take the president of the United States. If a secondary person got up and said that he speaks in the authority of the president, then he would be the acting authority of the presidential office. That is, if what he said was the truth. Well, you and I, we know that Jesus is speaking the truth. But these Jews, they weren't getting it. Verse 24, truly, truly, I say to you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Now notice how Jesus says that the hour is coming and now is. The reason why the hour is coming and now is because Jesus is referring to the living and the dead physically. Now think about this for a moment. There is going to be a day of resurrection of all the dead, and there is going to be saints of the past who will hear the voice of the Son of God, and that voice will call them to everlasting life. And Jesus is saying that he is going to give them spiritual life, but he's also saying that the time is also now, that the people who are living right now, who are spiritually dead, those who are seeking God, who are seeking eternal life through Jesus Christ, who recognize him for who he is, they will also hear the voice of the Son of God. Jesus has the power to raise the dead. and those who believe shall be raised from the dead, not just from the grave, but from a spiritual death as well. And in verse 27, Jesus says that God has given him the authority to execute judgment, which means that Jesus can condemn whoever he wants to. He's got the authority. That doesn't mean that he came into the world to condemn anyone. No, Jesus came into the world to save the world. But there's going to come a day when Jesus will come back. And on that day, he will sit as the judge. And he will be the judge because God has given him the authority. Verse 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can, of my own self, do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Now again, Jesus is making it very clear that there's going to come a day when the dead will rise and they will hear his voice, and some will come to everlasting life, and some will come to everlasting damnation. And then he goes on to say that he can make this call on people's souls because he has been given the authority by God himself. And he only does what God wills him to do. Jesus was a vessel that the Spirit of God was contained within. Now, verse 31, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You sent to John, and he bore witness to the truth. But I received not testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. He was a burning and shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Now Jesus is talking about the prophet John. John, as we discussed in chapter 1, was sent to announce Jesus' coming. And Jesus is telling these people that this is a witness that shows that I came from God. And for a while, you guys were entertaining this guy. You were actually happy to see and hear this guy. But now, you're not so happy about this guy because you're not so happy about me. You know, sometimes people tell you about an upcoming event and you get a picture in your mind of what you think it's all about. And then when you show up to the event, it's not what you expected. Now, that doesn't mean that it's a bad event. It just means it wasn't what you expected it to be. And sometimes when we get what we don't expect, we decide we don't like it. And that's what Jesus is saying. When you didn't understand what John was saying, you liked what he had to say. But now that you see what he's talking about, it's not what you expected, you're not so sure anymore. Somebody once told me that they were very excited about watching a particular movie, but they had heard so much hype about it that their expectations got so blown out of proportion that when they finally saw it, it was nothing like it was described. And it was a big letdown. And they ended walking out of the theater halfway through the movie. That doesn't mean it was a bad movie. It just means that it wasn't what the person expected it to be. And they lost interest, and it happened not to be their cup of tea at that moment. We see the same thing here with Jesus. Verse 36, but I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, which has sent me, has borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape, and you have not his word abiding in you. For whom he has sent, him you believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life. Now, Jesus is saying that the miracles that he's been working are possible because God gave him the authority to do these miracles. Jesus can only do what he sees the Father doing. And because the Father lives within him, he has the power to do the miracles that he is doing. And so he is saying that forget John. What about the miracles that I'm doing? Have you seen anybody else do this kind of stuff? And then he goes on to what seems to be an insult. You know, it's only an insult if it's not true. And Jesus is telling these people, you don't have God's word in you. In verse 38, because he is saying the proof is in the pudding. If God's word was really in these people, they would have recognized who Jesus was. Because he tells them that if you search the scripture, you think you're going to find eternal life. But the scriptures actually testify of Jesus. And we know in hindsight that if we look at scripture, the Old Testament points to Jesus. And he is saying, look, you really need to get back into your studies because you're missing the whole point of the scriptures. And then he says, look, you won't come to me. You'll go to the scriptures and you'll go to your religion. But in verse 40, he says, you won't come to me that you might have life. Verse 41, I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe which receive honor from one another and seek not the honor that comes from God only? Now think about what Jesus is saying. He is saying that people would follow somebody else who has no backup for authority in what they're saying. But yet Jesus is being backed up by God himself. The miracles were evident of that. Yet they would believe these other people who claimed to be who they were just because of what they had to say versus what Jesus was saying backed up by the deeds that only God could perform. We do that in today's society. An example is celebrities. Celebrities get mixed up in politics all the time, and I've heard people say that it must be credible because this person is a star. And in some people's mind, that makes a celebrity smart and knowledgeable on everything. It doesn't in my book. But some people believe that if somebody's a celebrity, well, they got to be smart. They must know what they're talking about. I'm not saying that every celebrity that talks about politics is ignorant, but I'm saying that being a celebrity doesn't make you an authority on politics, on medicine, on social issues, or anything. It just makes you a celebrity. And whatever field of celebrity that you're in, well, maybe you're an expert at that if you're successful. But if a person comes in their own authority and we believe them because of what they have themselves to say, well, we're making a mistake. Because we should be believing what Jesus has to say. Because Jesus is being backed up by God himself. Verse 45, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Now, Jesus just laid it right on top of them with this closing statement. He basically said, look, you're not believing me because you're not even believing anything that the Bible, that the scriptures at the time teach. You don't even believe Moses. So you could see that Jesus had his work cut out for him. He was dealing with people that not only would not believe what he had to say, but they weren't even believing the things that they had been studying for years, decades. He was talking to people that weren't believing him because they weren't believing even the little things. But see, Jesus didn't mince words with these people. He told them how it was. He showed them that he could see right through them. Jesus was no pushover. And when we get the Spirit of God inside of us, we should be so bold as to speak as Jesus did. When somebody confronts your belief in Jesus, you should be prepared to give an answer, and you should rely on the Spirit of strength from God, the Holy Spirit, who will be your helper to proclaim the gospel of Christ. We should all, as Christians, have that strength. Jesus had it, and he has given it unto us. We don't have a spirit of fear. I know some people take that scripture and they run with it. They say, well, I can jump off of a cliff with a parachute because I don't have a spirit of fear. But that scripture is saying we don't have a spirit of fear when it comes to proclaiming the gospel of Christ. You might be afraid of snakes. You might be afraid of spiders. You might be afraid of heights. But when it comes to proclaiming the gospel of Christ, you will have the strength and the courage you need to do so. But you will not receive anything from God if you don't have faith. And you get that faith by reading the Word of God, fellowshipping with other believers, and praying to God on a daily basis. And through those activities, your belief is strengthened, and in turn, your faith is strengthened. You have to feed the Holy Spirit. You have to strengthen your belief. The Holy Spirit needs to be fed. It can't lie dormant, starving for the attention of God. If you're not reading the Word, if you're not fellowshipping, if you're not praying, you're starving the Holy Spirit within you. And when you start to do that, you become prey to the enemy. He sees a door. When your belief becomes weak, your faith follows. And when your faith follows, everything spiritually starts tumbling down. But thank God for Jesus, who is always there to pick us back up.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. Again, that address is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and it is our prayer that God will bless you immensely from this message.